Hey creators, if you've been looking for a sign to refocus, realign, and elevate your craft, this is it. The Drippin' in Black Elevation Lab is back with another powerful session hosted by the UMA Creative Group. And this time, it's all about principles and values. Happening Saturday, December 6th at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, this virtual webinar is designed for podcasters, content creators, and media pros who want to grow their platforms with purpose. You'll learn how to anchor your creativity and your core values to make better business decisions, tell more authentic stories, and build genuine trust with your audience. It's more than strategy, it's alignment. So if you're ready to move from inspiration to execution, tap in now and register at dibkproductions.com/elevation. That's dibkproductions.com/elevation. Don't miss your chance to elevate with intention.
Oh yeah, are we back in the building? Oh yeah, are we back in the building? Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. First of all, I want to welcome everybody to, honestly, let's do it. Because I didn't know if I wanted to do it like this, but let's do it. Let's do it. Let's call this the season finale of the Black Hockey Podcast. Welcome, 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 man. I am your host, Ty the Pie Guy, Big Ronza, Big Tyronza in the building. We are back. Didn't know. I know that was a strange intro. Let me explain. I didn't know if I wanted to do a season finale or if I had a couple more episodes in the tank, which I do. But at the same time, I do kind of want to catch up on some things on the back end. So, the episodes that I do have probably stored in my head, ideas and everything, will probably come on Patreon, all right? So this will be the season finale of Black Hockey. We do appreciate y'all. We did have 13 episodes this season, so I'm very excited for that. Clap it up for yourselves. First of all, we don't have such a great season without you guys. I also want to thank you for your patience with me over the summertime after the loss of my grandmother. So I definitely thank you guys for always just being graceful and patient and rocking with me. And I thank y'all so much. As y'all know, most of the episodes that we have done have been One Piece based, especially after the God Valley and Rocks kind of rewind that we have been getting. This episode is dedicated only to manga chapter 1165. Okay? Because we have officially come to the climax and the ending, the official ending of Rock D. Sabek, Davy D. Sabek, and the end of God Valley. Can I just say, first of all, thank you, Oda, for this. Thank you, Oda, for this. you didn't have to. Let's be completely honest. You didn't have to give us this backstory. But you did anyway. And it was such a fantastic backstory of Rocks, who he was, kind of how he came to be, even though we didn't get his childhood, but we got how he became to be Rocks D. Sabek and how we understood where Whitebeard and Shinky and Kaido and Big Mom, how they came to be and how the Rocks Pirates really became to, you know, came into form and how they were the most dominant pirate crew at that time, even with the Roger Pirates out there. You understand what I'm saying? And so, you know, to get so much clarification of God Valley, the one thing that I will say is that, man, Figureland Garland has to come with it at his old age. I swear to God. I really think this man was trash. To get one shot at by Rocks was crazy. After so much speculation that I know I've had and that the community has had about Whitebeard and Garland, you know, even fan animations being done on YouTube and elsewhere, you know, with Garland and Whitebeard going at it, you know, to only get Whitebeard and Rox briefly colliding and making a mountain, fall to the ground. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's been interesting twists and turns and theories that have been broken and theories that have been revealed that really have that really has made this sequence, this brief sequence of God Valley and the introduction and outro of Rox D. Sebek, Davy D. Sebek. And in chapter 1165, we got the ending of one Rox D. Davy D. Sebek. I definitely feel this is a character that we've come to understand, come to love, come to mourn, even in a sense, right? Because this is a character that for so long we have been told, just through the world of One Piece, that this has been a bad man. He's been a bad dude. He had, you know, Roger and Garp had to defeat him and the Rox Pirates, you know what I'm saying, to really rid the eight of this evil, right? You understand what I'm saying? But through this whole flashback, it was nothing like that to me. Yes, was Rox devious like every other pirate? Of course. But I think Rox also had a purpose. I think he also had an ambition, just like Roger, just like Garp, and just like every other big name pirate out there who had ambition. And as we know, Rox D. Sebek, a.k.a. Davy D. Sebek, is of the Davy clan, of the D clan, of course, and is of Davy D. Jones. You know what I'm saying? He's on a threshold that has only been held now by Joy Boy. You understand what I'm saying? And so I now put him on that threshold because for Rox to say before his demi-reversal, to say, are you, Emu, afraid of Joy Boy or Davy D. Jones? Which one? It just feels like both of them had it out or had enough power enough to resist Emu at the time, during the Great War or whenever that was. You understand what I'm saying? And so now we get to, again, the last part of this. We get to the ending. We get to where Garp and Roger are finally facing Rox. And at this point, we also know that towards the ending of the last chapter in 1164, the last panel show Rox telling them through the voice of everything that, hey, guys, I need you to kill me because I don't want to do this. Now, he didn't say it like that. You know, he just said, please kill me. But I think in so many terms, I think in so many words, you know, he was basically telling them, hey, please, you know, I don't want to do this. I don't want to take out anybody else. I don't want to even take out my family. And even having the thought in his mind, you know, because I don't think he knows that Kuma saved him or saved Teach and his, you know, his mom and his wife. You know what I'm saying? I don't think he knows that his family was saved by Kuma. I think he really believes that, you know, or believed that his family and Teach and his mom were taken out. You know what I'm saying? And so his, you know, and I feel like those is where a lot of the tears came from. And to be controlled by something that you can't even get out of. You understand what I'm saying? It's not to say probably that Rox didn't have the hockey to do so. It's maybe being caught off guard and understanding how to try to get out of this, right? And so maybe if he had more understanding of Emu's power and everything, maybe he would have been able to get out of it. Because we've seen, and Roger has talked about it even in this chapter. He said, you know, armament hockey is strong enough to nullify devil fruits, right? And so we've seen through, even through Law, how he's used his armament hockey to nullify the power of Devil Fruits, right? When they got transformed into women. You understand what I'm saying? And so, you know, we've seen that, but we couldn't really see that now because he didn't know what the hell was going on. And so, again, now we're here. Rox and Roger are finally facing Zebek, and you know, they're looking at him, facing him, going head up with him, and again, this is a clash of all clashes, right? Three of the strongest ever in the world of One Piece going head to head. Three of the goats going head to head, and it shows really that Garp is really who he says he is. And Roger is exactly who he says he is. And man, do they look like Luffy and Ace. It's ridiculous how much Oda made Ace look just like his father, or made Roger look just like. Like, they look just alike. It's ridiculous. And Garp literally looks like. It's crazy enough that they look just like Luffy and Ace. But they're facing Zebek, and Zebek is kind of holding his own, you know. They split the sky with Conqueror's Haki clashes and everything like that. While that's happening, we're getting, you know, people leaving the island. Dragon has one of the marine ships captive, holding up, you know, one of its captains, telling, hey, you need to put some civilians on this ship or it's going to be bad. Because this is crazy. Y'all killing people and y'all not stopping it. Then we got a buster call out here. Like, y'all don't give a damn. Get some civilians on this ship now. Kaido and Big Mom are getting into it. Of course, Big Mom is telling Kaido, hey, you will be on me a death for life. And Kaido's man telling her, like, hey, I don't owe you jack shit. Okay. And if you come here, you know, the sibling rivalry that has been Kaido versus Big Mom, or Big Mom versus Kaido, however you want to call that. Shinki says, you know, this is the end of the Rock's Pirates. Gabon and Rayleigh are literally tell the other pirates to leave. Garp and Roger tell everybody else to leave. We'll catch up because, you know, they have to handle Rox. Rox is four times the size of what he used to be, and probably four times as strong now just because of what he's done, of what Emu has done. Speaking of, Emu tells G11 and Cypherpool to sit here and erase everything that is God Valley. So basically what had happened there, the whole hunting party, extravaganza, everything from Rox and all of that shit, they wanted to wipe it clean. However, this is the Rox Pirates, who had, coincidentally, three Yonko at the time as the most powerful pirates in the world, in Whitebeard, Kaido, and Big Mom. You don't let the Rox era go without that. And then, hello, Marshall D. Teach, a.k.a. now Davy D. Teach. As we know, he's a part of the Davy clan. Right? So that's neither here nor there. That's a whole nother conversation. So now we get to the part where Garp and Roger realize, like, okay, we're coding our attacks in Conqueror's Haki. However, this man, it's not doing what it needs to do. And Garp is like, well, that's because he's coding his defenses in Conqueror's Haki code. So it don't matter how much we can attack this man, the damage ain't really getting to him because, you know, our attack, it just cancels each other's out. And so we get this panel where we see, and it was so sad, man, to me. We get this panel to see, like, Rox crying, really just saying, please, y'all, kill me, I don't want to keep doing this. You know what I'm saying? Just be fighting under your will when you don't want to is crazy. And they both had a heart. You know what I'm saying? They understood what needed to be done because they had respect for him. You understand what I'm saying? They had respect for who he was and how he carried himself and everything like that and how strong he was. This is a man, again, that went up into the holy land of Marijuana, looked at Emu and said, I'll be back, and kept low-key kept that promise. Okay? Killed an admiral, went toe-to-toe, went toe-to-toe with one of the baddest giants in the world, in the world of One Piece, created the best pirate crew ever, still went toe-to-toe with Emu, and if was a fifth, hell, if he knew how Emu's powers really work, I think that it would have been a good clash. Cause think about if this story was reversed. Rock's telling everybody, oh, I know how this Demi Reversi works. If you got enough haki, you cannot get changed. You understand what I'm saying? You can resist the switch. And I would have been like, Rock, I think Whitebeard would have been like, oh, is that it? All right, cool. So just going to get stick with them tentacles and don't get changed. Cool. And if I do, resist with some haki. Bet. I think if that was the case, oh, Emu would have had a hard time with Rocks, Whitebeard, Lin-Lin, Kaido, Garp, and Roger. Come on. That's a hard time for anybody. And they all in their prime at this point. Young in their prime. Rocks is probably maybe the oldest one there, possibly. Next to Whitebeard. So we talking about all of them in their sort of prime, mid-prime to prime years? And all of them got some form of Conqueror's haki? What are we talking about? What? Oh, yeah. It would have been a doozy, but we didn't get that, unfortunately. Right? But what we got was a panel where Garp and Roger unleashed their most powerful haki, Conqueror's haki attacks on Rocks. And, you know, Roger channeling his haki through a sword. Garp, you know, doing like a Gomu Gomu no Mi, but, you know, kind of fire fist punch with Conqueror's haki infused to Rocks. So all of these attacks are hitting Rocks. And with that, the evil, the transformation, that kind of magical power kind of releases from him. And in this, we understand, you know, the Rocks Pirates, you know, with this, the Rocks Pirates, you know, Rocks needs to beg, Davy needs to beg to a degree, has, you know, kind of been erased from history. But because of who was on that crew and who, you know, what the legend is, it was hard for that allure to be erased. And of course, you know, we get a break next week. So, man, this was, again, from top to bottom. And to the critics of this, yes, there's some things that are left out. We want to see who and what Bogar was. Oh, Polo Graham, Marco's dad. Right? Whitebeard's most likely first mate. Real shit. Polo Graham, who was the who says he's a fan of Whitebeard, you know, meets him and says, hey, you knocked down that mountain. Oh my God, let's click up. Let's hang out. Let's join forces. I know you don't got a crew now. And Whitebeard's like, man, get out of my face. I ain't trying to, you know what I'm saying? I ain't trying to be about that right now. But how do you know? That's how we got Marco, right? A young Marco. You know, Marco Polo, that's dope. But, you know, again, through these whole chapters when it came to this whole flashback from Rocks, his introduction to his ending, I mean, it's something that I really do empathize with and understand more of now. I think now my true question really becomes is how and if, and I think I've asked this before, did Whitebeard know that was Teach, that was Zabek's son, when he picked him up off that island? Did or does Blackbeard understand the lineage and the history truly of God Valley and what happened to his father? Is he trying to destroy Emu by using this facade of a pirate, like, you know, mastermind to just get to Emu and get to these devil fruits that maybe his father and Zabek needed to defeat Emu for good? Right? Because there was a promise, and maybe he learned something that we don't know, because again, he is a Davy. And that lineage, that power, that is something we just got introduced to. So we don't know what Blackbeard knows. We don't know that. He already has 2 devil fruits, may have 3 already to his name. Plus the power of a D, plus the power. He's not Marshall D. Teach to me anymore. He's Davy D. Teach. So now now all the Conqueror's hockey talk goes out the window. He has to have it. He has to have it. There has to be something. It's dormant somewhere, but he got to have it. He has to have it. Has to. And again, do Luffy and Teach fight it out, but understand their lineage and understand their history to what it is that Joy Boy and Davy D. Teach, who were probably the main protagonists to Emu trying to stop him and make sure that he didn't do what they needed to. He was trying to take over the world and shit. Man, it's just so many questions in my head, but this was such a fantastic flashback, man. Fantastic start to finish. One Piece Power Wars 4, can we get a Davy D. Sebek? Rocks D. Sebek, thank you. I will pay for that pack. Okay? I will pay for that pack. Listen, guys, thank you guys so much for a fantastic season. It has been real. I shall see you on Patreon. Please come to our Patreon, Epic Echo Productions, patreon.com/Epic Echo Productions. $3 a month will get you bonus content. I will be posting bonus content weekly on here. Until we start back up for season 5, okay? So if you want to be involved with the Black hockey community, if you just want to be involved, period, and want to hear me and see me, come up on Epic Echo Productions. We give you 7-day free trial, and then it's $3 a month after that, all right? We love y'all. Again, we thank y'all so much for a fantastic season. And this has been another one, of course. Y'all have a fantastic holiday. Happy Thanksgiving. Merry Christmas to you all. And Happy New Year. All right. Love y'all. Peace and thank you.